Hello, everyone. This is Luke Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Karen Smith, and she is a leadership coach transitioning into a health and healing coach, and she helps clients get to that next level. And she is what you call a next level coach. And while Karen is committed to and gifted at guiding you to navigate the various aspects of life, she's not your typical coach or life coach. She prioritizes identifying and addressing root causes personally and professionally, and strategically supporting you in experiencing deep, sustained change. And so Karen's clients have experienced catapults in many areas of their lives, yet she specializes in helping others achieve relief and renewal in their leadership, relationships, and health. So she is someone who has received education from institutions like the George Washington University, which is a very prestigious institution. So we are very fortunate to have her here. We are so lucky and blessed that she was able to carve out some time in her packed schedule and sit down and have a chat with us. So I guess to start off, thank you for coming on as a guest. And can you talk to us about your background and how you first gravitated towards what you're doing now?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Luke. I'm glad to be here and to have this opportunity. Yes, as you mentioned, and as you can see in my resume and my repertoire, if you were to look, I've spent the majority of my professional career as an executive and leadership coach, really helping leaders effectively get out of their own way oftentimes and lead themselves and their teams to more impact and sustainable outcomes. During my more recent tenure in that role, approximately 4 years ago, I had a personal experience that not only changed my life, but led me to shift my focus. In November 2017, I was diagnosed with colon cancer, and through a series of prayers, reflections, conversations, research, tears, et cetera, I decided to embark upon a journey to heal naturally. Now, I will say that that was something that I typically would consider even when I got a common cold, but when you hear something like cancer, you know, the pressure is on, you need to do something about it, et cetera. And just personally, I went through my own struggle and process of really trying to determine how to resolve that. And then I decided to go with what I knew would work or believed would work, even though I was being advised otherwise. And so once I had kind of gotten my fears calmed and gotten in my head about me, I had a very peaceful moment with God where I realized that though my journey would involve me, it was not about me. There were far too many people who I had already seen encounter cancer in particular, but other things. And I realized that my journey to healing, not just getting treated, would be something that others already needed and that I would just be led and empowered to really support them in doing so. And so I shifted my coaching strategy. I still coach leaders, but it is the thing I'm moving from into really coaching and practicing, helping people primarily do a few things, helping them to reclaim and own their responsibility for their health, helping them to really work through the process with their doctors. That was very challenging for me to say that you want to go a different route or you want to consider additional things. So I support people even if they're going through the conventional route, but oftentimes they don't have the mental space and capacity to advocate for themselves and without the push and the pressure of others. And so I really support people in doing that. And then I provide them with resources and support so that they can effectively accomplish their goals. And so that is a similar type of coaching that I was doing in the executive and leadership world. But now it's really about advocacy and tapping into your resources and connecting for your own personal health. And so that is why there's the shift, but I've really been using some of the same skills and tools that I used, and that is how I have professionally moved from that space. It was that trigger, that situation in my life that has now brought me to this place professionally.
Wow, that's amazing. That is incredible. And, you know, it's interesting. So you started off coaching executives. And again, thank you for sharing your story and whatnot. But you went through this personal issue with the colon cancer, which I think a lot of people are becoming more and more aware of how serious this cancer is and how it's growing, particularly with the death of Chadwick Boseman, the
yes.
actor who died of this. And
mm-hmm.
obviously, right, and cancer is no joke. And it's interesting that you wanted to go the natural route, because when we think of cancer, we think of chemotherapy. We think
yes.
of, you know, people's hair falling out and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and being exposed to radiation and whatnot. So it's interesting you decided to do it naturally. And
yes.
you fought it, yeah.
Yeah. No, I had two family members, two of my aunts, and we'd all taken the test to see if it was genetically related, and it wasn't. But I had an aunt with breast cancer and another with ovarian cancer, and they both chose the conventional route. And there were times, and there's no judgment to those, people have the right to choose what they want, where I wondered if it was the cancer that was taking them out, so to speak, or if it was the drugs. And as I watched them whittle away, I struggled with that. And I at that time, well, at least with my first aunt, I had not been diagnosed. But with my second aunt who was diagnosed, I struggled. And she would tell me trials that she was going through and recommend them for me. So we actually had cancer at the same time. And I just was like, I don't know. This could lead to my end, but I want a different path. I mean, we all will die at some point, but I want to choose how I live until I die. And that is what caused me to, I'd heard about other alternatives and other options. And actually I had an uncle who, interestingly enough, was married to one of those women, one of my aunts, and he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he chose a more natural, holistic route, and his wife did not. And he's still with us almost 20 years later, and she is not. And so I didn't know exactly the details. You don't know how aggressive the cancer is, but you actually put your hope in something. And so I just chose to put mine in the holistic, more natural approach. And I decided I wanted my body to be able to sustain the I'm not saying this properly, the absence of cancer. Like, I didn't want to just get rid of it once. I wanted to shift my lifestyle. I was like, why did I get it? Not in a way that I was blaming myself, but what about the environment in my body or in my mind or in my life caused me to get there? I want to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And so that was also a part of my decision-making process to go this more holistic and natural route.
Wow. And again, thank you for sharing this personal, intimate story and whatnot.
Absolutely.
About you and your family. And I think it's amazing. So there is something to that, treating, you know, cancer on your, you know, fighting cancer on your own terms, which I think is very brave and whatnot. I'm not too sure if I would do that. I think I'd be so scared. I'd be like, I'll do the chemo, whatever, you know, but then, you know,
right.
to take your life in your own hands and to do it the way you want it to. It is amazing. And obviously the uncle who had prostate cancer may have inspired you to, you know, perhaps go the natural route, which could be very effective, I'm sure. So it's interesting. You remind me of a woman I interviewed called Mary Jenkins, who survived breast cancer fight.
Mm-hmm.
Love to introduce you to her. She actually started her own charity because she found that when people suffer from cancer, they have difficulty paying the bills, like rent and whatnot.
Yeah.
So she created a charity called the COC. Definitely want to link you up with her. She's amazing. And so again, thank you for sharing your story. And I'm so happy that you were able to fight this cancer. It's a hideous disease and win and whatnot,
you.
You know, and it's tough because you hear about all these celebrities who have cancer, like Alistair
right.
Mack and John Lewis, who actually both died of pancreatic cancer. And I believe the judge Ginsburg too, and how deadly that cancer is. And,
right.
But, you know, when you see celebrities die of cancer, it tells you that cancer doesn't care who you are. You know, when it comes for you, it comes for you. And so it's interesting. So it's, I think the best way to fight cancer is prevention. Obviously, obviously there's a genetic component, but I always tell people the best time to fight cancer is when you don't have cancer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say one more thing about that, if this is sometimes met with controversy. I respect our healthcare system, and I have very good friends and family members. You can hear the butt coming. And I have very good friends and family members who are physicians, surgeons, et cetera, and they will attest to the fact that they have been trained to treat. They have been specialized in how to treat ailments and disease, and they've been trained in how to use pharmaceuticals to do so. So one of the distinguishing differences with that for myself and when I'm working with clients is there are some things for which I want treatment, or our trauma medicine is excellent. If I get hit by a bus, by all means, do not put a leaf on my leg. Let's, like, give it all to me, right?
Right.
And there are
right.
times when... But when it's something more deeply rooted and you want healing, that is not necessarily what they've been trained to do. And so I think that is also, like, we go to the source for a different outcome than they were trained and professionally intended to provide. And though that may be at the heart of each of the individuals, that is not what their schooling and their background really point at. And so, for example, I think they get something like, and don't quote me here, even though I'm being quoted on air, about 6 months around, food and how food heals the body. But the majority of their schooling is not about that. And like you just said, prevention, some of our food is about healing and can help our bodies stay whole
right.
and healthy. But that's not what they've learned. And so it's how do you take what they know and what you can learn through some holistic approaches and combine them even. But I don't think that we go to the right solution or source for the problems that we have all the time.
Right. Absolutely. And there should be a lot of focus on prevention and preventative health. Absolutely. Totally agree with you on that. And hopefully things change in the future. I think there are some signs of progress and whatnot. I think fewer people are smoking cigarettes, which is a great cause factor in causing cancer, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that obviously continues. So I hate to leave this topic because I know cancer is a very serious issue. But I see how it was a trigger that it kind of helped you transition to health and healing. And you're very obviously passionate about it. I can feel that passion in your voice, which is amazing. So it sort of guided you to where you're to what you're doing now professionally, which is amazing. So I'm curious now, obviously, you've been helping people for quite some time and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But we all, we all got hit with that sucker punch with the pandemic and whatnot. And it caused a lot of disruption and upheaval. I'm curious now, obviously things are kind of fading away with the pandemic and whatnot, and things are getting better. Where do you see things going in the future? And where do you see yourself in that future?
Actually, I feel like there were ways in which the pandemic, maybe not necessarily around health, but around a number of things, caused us to be still and to reflect. Many of the things that were happening prior to the pandemic, especially around social justice and Black men getting killed in the streets and, you know, the officers, all of those things were happening before the pandemic started. But they were more front and center and in our faces. Even you mentioned celebrities dying of cancers, and those things were happening. But when you're hustling and bustling and moving about, you're not as focused on it. It comes up in the news and you go to the next meeting. But we were still, and we were able to listen and reflect. We think about education differently, especially if you were sitting at home listening or watching your child, you know, learn on a computer and hearing their teacher, where you usually don't have that access. And so I'm not saying that the pandemic was great, but there were things that we were able to learn. We lost a lot of people to something that we didn't have control over. And I think the value of life was more present. And even though we couldn't reach out and touch and be with people, I think we'll value people in greater ways and in more in-depth ways. And so it is my hope that people will not forget the lessons learned during this period, and that we will leverage those to become better individually, better in our communities, better as a larger society, and that those are the things that we will change. Health, social justice, education, all of these things were highlighted and were painful and or revealing some things to us. But if we walk away from the lessons, I fear that we will lose the opportunities to become greater in those areas. So it is more about a hope I have for the future than what I know. It depends on how we move forward, given the reopening of society and the opening of communities and what things a lot of people are interested in getting back to the way things were. And I think there's an opportunity to do some things differently and build upon what we had, but really embrace some ways that, like, we can apply some new insights and new wisdom and new knowledge to our lives. And so that is what I'm hoping will be the case.
Wow. And that's amazing. And thank you for that. And, you know, I love optimists, and I'm also optimistic about the future as well. You talked about during the pandemic, everyone was still, so they were able to concentrate and focus on things that had always been happening prior to the pandemic, but they were able to kind of sit and reflect on it and whatnot. And that, I think perhaps that kind of self-reflection, introspection will help people to, on average, just to be better people, help our society to improve. So I do too have hope for the future and whatnot. And it also allowed people to focus more on their health when they see these celebrities, particularly quite a few famous people died of cancer. And, you know, I've highlighted a few and whatnot, and people are more were able to focus on all the social issues and whatnot. And there was a shift or change in attitudes when it came to that. So I definitely agree with you. Hopefully in the future, things do improve. And, you know, obviously with the election, we had the first, I think, person of color and woman become vice president, which was amazing. That was a highlight, a positive, bright spot for last year when they got elected.
Right.
So that that event also helped me to be more hopeful and whatnot. And so definitely totally agree with you on that. Now, I guess to kind of switch gears a little bit, obviously you're a coach, and I love coaches. And interviewed quite a few coaches and whatnot. So I was curious. Now, there are some people out there who may be skeptical about coaching, who may roll their eyes and be cynical about it and say, why do I need to pay money for a coach? I can read a book or do it myself and whatnot. So what would you say to someone like that?
I think there are a couple of scriptures that come to mind. One is pride comes before the fall. So, but then you did say there, if that's for people, anyone who is not interested, it's like, you know, I can do this on my own. I don't need anyone's help. But then you have those who are willing to look and maybe grab a book and those kinds of things. I think there's something about coaching, and I often think of sports analogies where, like, what if, you know, all of these players, if you take basketball, are in their own rights, knowledgeable and experts at what they do. But there is something about the coach, even individually, even if you don't, if you take away the team aspect, that helps them to maximize their gifts, strengths, talents, abilities, et cetera, and to apply it in that given context. And so there's something about, we go to financial advisors or in things, I just pulled that one out of the hat, you know, because we need someone to coach us on how to leverage our money. We don't just, a lot of us don't just assume that, well, I have this money, I'll make the best investments, I'll figure it out. Like, we get some advice. We also get coaches in other aspects of our lives when we are, like, we get advice on other things. Ideally, my doctor is a coach. Like, they don't just tell me what to do, but they give me options and help me to think about who I am and what my situation is and how I should best move forward given where I am. So there's the general information that you could glean from a book or a resource or online, but a coach should be able to help you apply that to your context in your life. And that is where I really take pride in what I do, because I don't consider myself just an advisor. If I'm just giving you information, then I am just like what you can get on the internet or get in a book. But what those pieces of material or those resources lack is an understanding of who you are, what you need, and how to appropriately apply and align that with where you are. What questions should I ask Luke versus should I ask Karen? You know, what is it about where they each are individually that, whether it's about your health or your business or your financial matters or your spiritual matters, even therapy and mental health, all of those, regardless of the title, someone is trying to assist you in making improvements and making adjustments based on where you are. And that is where I think the power or the advantage of a coach comes in.
Wow. And totally agree with you on that. I believe everyone should have a coach. And you know, obviously there's a lot of books out there and information, but you know, it's funny, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. The books on self-improvement, whether it's health or success or whatever. And, you know, there's so much information out there. I'm sure most of it's good, but no one's implementing it, right?
Yeah. Or not understanding exactly how, right? So I was just thinking, as you said it, I'm sitting across from a bookshelf, and I'm like, yeah, how many books do I have on similar things, similar topics? I have them kind of categorized. And as you spoke, I was like, why wasn't one sufficient? And sure, it's helpful to hear different perspectives, but I'm also thinking, what have I done in there? Like even a fitness coach is even like a personal fitness coach. I can look at all of the things on the internet about, you know, how many sit-ups and push-ups to do today. I've done videos and things, but I was most effective when I had, you're about to make me go back and get my own fitness coach, Luke. I was most effective when I had a coach, because they tailored it. They helped me ramp up when it was time for me to ramp up. They slowed down. They understood that I had knee weakness on the right side, and so they accommodated my, you know, exercise accordingly. And so there is something about someone having the balcony view and able to assist and support you, but then also come off of the balcony and be in it with you. And that is where I think coaches have great value and opportunity.
Wonderful. I love that, the idea, the balcony view. I'm going to take that from you, all right, if you don't mind.
I don't. I took it from somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
Not from coaching, but it's another analogy.
Right. And I totally agree with you on that. And, you know, coaches provide that accountability.
Yeah.
Make sure you do it and you follow through, because a book can't hold you accountable like a human being can. You know, a magazine article, blog post, you know, can't do it, but a coach can. And, you know, again, I believe everyone should have a coach. You mentioned athletes have coaches, so true, and whatnot. And the doctor's sort of being like a coach. I haven't heard that one before, but I love it. I'm definitely going to take that one as well. And it's interesting. I actually interviewed one guest who talked about how there's so many books out there and people read it and whatnot. And he called it shelf help, which
I like that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'll take that one.
He talked about shelf help and how people usually don't implement it. And that's why I think coaching is so important. I think I interviewed one guest who said a coach helped her shave years off, you know, the path to progress. And so, so yeah, there is something to it. I think a lot more people should definitely look into coaching. And so I guess my next question would be, obviously there are so many coaches out there, and a lot of them are good. Some are not so great. Obviously there's a low barrier to entry. So anyone could, you know, unlike a doctor, we have to go to school. And for a long time, anyone can call themselves a coach tomorrow. There's no certification or whatnot. I was curious, since there's so many coaches out there, what competitive advantage do you have? Like, how do you stand out as a coach?
It's probably a little bit of what I just shared. I think knowledge of the area, like a lot of coaches do have the knowledge, so that would be foundational. But what I just outlined in the last response, I think, is a willingness to apply conceptually what they know to where you are and to get in there with you, right? So I'll start with the fitness thing, but my fitness coach is doing the exercise with me and not just sitting on the bench drinking his water. Like, I feel inspired. I feel connected to that. When I was coaching leaders and I'm in their team meetings with them and I give them in the moment feedback to help them adjust course, like they learn the lesson right then. Even with my health and healing clients, when invited, I've gone to doctor's appointments and helped them hear and ask them questions. Like, would you like to know more? Are you interested in how that would impact your physical health, like moving beyond? Ask about the side effects. Like, I am willing to get in there and not just advise you. I want to support you based on where I know you are and what is going to be necessary for you to move forward. And I think a lot of coaches are, I've had coaches who are willing to help you write a plan and help you think through some things, and that is important, and I do those as well. But my most impactful experiences where I've been coached and in my coaching have been the get in, shoulder to shoulder, arm to arm, let's figure it out, and where there are opportunities to weave that in, that's where I feel like I shine and where I have been most effective and successful with clients. And that is what brings them back. That is what brings the referrals. They're like, yeah, I've not experienced that kind of quick change, moving to the next level, thinking and critically assessing, like, oh my gosh, she heard what I heard and just helped me think about it totally differently. Versus I get a report back from something, you tell me how you did your work, and I try to process based on what you're telling me. If I hear it and I see it, then I'm more apt to be able to help you navigate it. And so that is where I really pride myself, being able to dig in and work with the client.
Wow, that's amazing. And that's incredible. You mentioned that earlier, that not only is a good coach supposed to be in the balcony, you know, giving you perspective, but also get down from the balcony and help you out as well. So you know, you sort of do both. You're sort of in the trenches with the client, working shoulder to shoulder. And so that's amazing. And I guess a lot of coaches don't, unfortunately, do that. But you give that extra hands-on kind of experience and whatnot. And I can see why you get the positive results as a result. And also the word-of-mouth referrals, which is amazing. And so, and as they say, word of mouth is the most effective advertising out there.
Yes. So,
that's amazing. I was curious. Yeah. Now, obviously, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that there's obviously, you know, as a society, we have, you know, a lot of social ills like racism, sexism, discrimination, whatnot. Now, I'm curious, what have you faced any racism or sexism on your journey? And if so, how have you been able to overcome it?
Yeah, I've experienced a lot. but I think when I think about my journey professionally, it's been, there are different times when it's been about pay or a difference in pay, or I needed to advocate for, you know, the work that I've done versus someone else. That was more in the organization. I think more recently, and I would lean this more towards discrimination, in that it's been more aligned to a rejection of and or a misunderstanding or lack of willingness to understand a different perspective or approach. And so it's happened more when I don't know if you'll consider this a discriminatory moment, but it's happened more when I've gone to the doctor's office. I've had at least on a number of occasions, and you know, when you check in and they ask you to fill out the paperwork, what medicines are you taking, et cetera, the amount of pushback I get around the fact that I don't take any prescription medicines, or I went for my colonoscopy, and it's not even just the pushback, it's the denouncement of what I do. So I've been told those aren't real. Like the supplements or the things that I take that I've listed on there, that those aren't real. I'm talking about, what do you take that's real? Excuse me? What is real?
Wow.
How do you define real? And why can't it just be you don't know about it? Like, say, I'm not sure how those benefit or if those will have interactions or reactions with what we're about to do. But, yeah, I'd like to learn more. Or even if you don't want to learn more, just say that first part. But the Again, I've been told that the piece about that's not real or something along those lines. I went in, an anesthesiologist made a smirk when I said some natural things that I was taking and that I was doing, and I was doing acupuncture, and he was like, well, that's not going to help, and you don't really know what you're doing. And it's interesting because that was at the start of my colonoscopy when he was about to do the anesthesia for the last colonoscopy I had. And then when I came out and they had found nothing inside of my colon, he stood there in dismay. And I wish I could have recorded the moment, but I was already having my own moment of rejoicing. But there was something about not just, oh, I've never heard of that, but I'm going to make you feel less than and push down or what you are doing, because it's not what I believe in and what I do. And so there's something about the respect or the equity of thought and approach, and that I've experienced a lot in this part of my, in the past 4 or 5 years in particular. But I actually, before I was diagnosed with cancer, had gotten a little bit of that. And so I don't say that, again, I go to doctors, I still have doctor's appointments, and I don't think that is every doctor, but that is where I've experienced it in my journey around health. And even one of the doctors where I told them I was going to be a health coach and I really wanted to support people in having, feeling empowered and making the right decisions for their lives and their health. And I was literally told that is not what I should do, and that they should follow. I don't have that kind of insight. I don't need the medical insight. I just need the insight to the fact that we have choice and that we have privilege and the opportunity to make that. So that's where I guess it's not the typical way that I would look at discrimination, but it is where I feel like there is a wall that is not open to a different perspective. And that is the same kind of thing that lives in racism, that lives in sexism. It is, I reject what you say and who, how you are and how you operate, and I denounce it in some places, in some ways. And so that is, again, I've experienced the other ones, but that has been newer and different for me. And so I just wanted to raise that one.
No problem. Thank you so much for that. It's interesting. Actually, I was doing some reading, and it talked about, I think I was reading a book by an author named Tim Wise. He talks about how oftentimes studies have shown racial discrimination by doctors and healthcare officials and hospitals, which is unfortunate in terms of black patients, right, being underestimated or having their intelligence underestimated or essentially not being believed when they talk about certain things. So that is so true. And again, the high, I think, was it big, infant mortality rate among black women. So yeah, definitely there is proof of that. But it's great that you were able to stand up for yourself, assert yourself, and talk about what you were doing. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, people not thinking what you were recommending as being not real. That's very unfortunate and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, but
again, yeah,
sure.
Go ahead.
Right. No,
yes. Okay. And I don't want to be in opposition to our healthcare system. I just want to help people make the decisions that are best for them and that are going to lead to their health and healing. I often think about how many people are, my mother has diabetes and how she's been on the same medicine. And I'm like, well, what does the end look like? Or are you working to get off of the medicine? And that's not a part of the conversation she's having with her doctor. And so I'm like, well, let's work to get off of this. It is not something, it can be reversed. There are ways to reverse diabetes. And so I just think about my family and our communities where there are doctors who, I've had doctors who were working to get me off of something, you know, or not to have a certain ailment. So it's not that it's not existing in those spaces, but I don't think that's prevailing. It's the prevailing approach, as evidenced by the numbers of people who are on medications and have to get constant refills of the same things. And some of that is a lack of ownership and choice, but some of it is about a larger structure.
Right. Absolutely. And again, thank you so much for sharing, your stories and whatnot. Very unfortunate. But we always have to call it out, and that's the only way it'll improve.
Yep.
So definitely thank you so much for that. And I'm curious, obviously as a coach, you have helped out quite a few people, and you kind of touched on this earlier, but I was curious, what advice would you give someone who's looking for a coach to work with?
I would encourage them to, I don't have a particular place where I would go, but I would encourage them to find a coach who's going to support them in game time decisions and help them effectively navigate the game, so to speak. A coach who is not only willing to advise, but to connect and willing to get in there and apply it to their personal context and to join opportunities. Now, sometimes I was just thinking about sometimes it's not appropriate to get in there with a person. So, it might be you're coaching me around my relationship and I only want to talk to you and my partner doesn't, right? So it may not be appropriate to get in there, but you want someone who is willing to understand. Questions are the best way. So if they are doing more advising than asking, I would recommend that you seek someone else because they need to seek to understand and support and prompt the thinking and the questions and the solutions on the end of the client. Even if they have the knowledge, it's more about helping to surface that. Like, what do you want? Even a business coach, what is it that you want in your business? How are you trying to move forward? What's your end game? Who are your clients? Like, it's more questions than answers. And I think the coach really supports you to have the illumination. And I would encourage people to, do a first session with someone and see if you feel like you are any wiser or clear about what you want to do and what you need at the end of that first session, and then determine how to move forward. An effective coach should be able to help you to have some aha moments even in the first session. And so I think it's the questioning, the understanding your context, and the digging in with you that would help to make sure that you have the right coach for you.
Wow. And thank you so much for that advice. You talked about when it comes to a coach that they should be fielding you a lot of questions to find out to get to what you want, which is so important. Mm-hmm. If they're not doing that, that might be a bit of a red flag. And but you talk about the importance of to shop around, right? So it's like holding an audition or, doing a job interview to find out the right coach for you. And you said a coach should give you some aha moments, even in the first meeting, which I completely agree with. I think the best coaches are able to do that and whatnot. So love that. And you talked about how coaches should be, how as a coach you're very involved and whatnot. But the best coaches sort of do that, but there are times when a coach can't do that. Obviously, if it's a relationship and only one person wants to talk to a coach, that'd be, an example of that. So I guess it all really depends. But I think that's great advice. A coach that works shoulder to shoulder, or is there shoulder to shoulder, I think is a coach that's worth his or her weight in gold. Definitely critical advice. So I was curious, obviously you've helped a lot of folks, and I was wondering, can you tell us the most moving or entertaining stories from your life or career?
Oh, from my life. That just broadened it.
or it could be career,
Yeah, I wish I could come up with an entertaining one right now, but that's not top of mind. And I don't know that this is most moving, but I was working with a young woman who had been suffering and struggling with stage 4 endometriosis. And it reminds me of this biblical story, but she had been to several doctors and prescribed a series of medicines and approaches and treatments. And we met actually through a mutual friend, and we were at a gathering, and I was sharing my story with someone, and she heard it, and she was intrigued and wanted to know a little bit more. So we connected offline, and she shared that she had just been hopeless, that she'd been struggling, she'd been in pain, and that she kind of given up hope, but something about my story like prompted something for her. And so it wasn't just the story, but then I said, well, I'd like to get an opportunity to help you. And so through a couple of connections and conversations and some natural or holistic approaches, she called me and said, you know, it's been years since I've had hope around not having this pain and not experiencing this in this way. And I just am so grateful to you for this, for you supporting me, for the fact that our paths crossed and that I heard and we were able to connect and that you were able to help me get to a place where now I have hope and I'm experiencing some relief. And so it was inspiring and memorable to me, because if you go back to the very beginning of what I shared, it's like my journey was for me, but it wasn't about me, you know, like it helped me. And so here is someone else who was already saying they had lost hope. So someone who had been looking for an answer and had been experiencing years of suffering and pain was now finding a new way and is currently on her own healing journey to eradicate, get rid of something that she had been struggling with for years. And so that's one of the stories that warms my heart and that I come back to often.
Wow, that's an amazing story. How this woman went from being hopeless to sort of being hopeful or closer to it. And then obviously things were tough because she was suffering from a major illness and whatnot. But you were able to get her on the right path. And so I love stories like this, which are, you know, have a happy ending. And, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned before how it's for me, but not just about me, so to speak. And it reminded me of Joe Rogan, who said that you have to be the star of your own movie. Like, if your life's a movie, you got to be the star. And you sure are. And, and also,
well, yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say real quick, Mark Twain once said that everyone has two birthdays, the day they were born and the day they figure out why. And I was going to say, you clearly know both your birthdays, which is amazing.
Yay. Yes, I like it. I do. I have connected to the why. Yes, and so I did want to highlight, it wasn't just my story that made that moment for her. It was actually our work together to get her relief. And I think that people need to experience something differently, and that's what they're looking for, and that's what coaches help do, you know.
Wonderful. You kind of help them shine the light, see the possibilities. Yeah. So I think what coaches do is incredible, and it's similar to having like a mentor and whatnot. And, you know, Tony Robbins says when you hang around successful people who are at the level you want to be at, it helps a lot of success leaves clues. And I think, again, getting the right coach, I liken that to getting a mentor or putting yourself around people who want you to succeed, or who have, a lot of times people get coaches who've succeeded at what they're trying to get coaching for, which I think is the best way to do it. So definitely. So again, thank you so much for that incredible story. It just goes to show you that you know what you're doing and you get results for clients. I'm curious. We talked a lot about books earlier, and I don't want to disparage them too much, but I guess they play a huge role in helping people. What book recommendations do you have for people that you would make?
The main one I'm thinking about for health and healing coaching is Patient Heal Thyself, particularly because it's by Jordan Rubin, and particularly because it focuses on the ownership and the empowerment. So it's not as much about the coaching, but it is about, I have the opportunity to choose, and I may need to, and I can do so with the help of others. And so I think it not only talks about what he did, but that it encourages and empowers others to do that. And it inspired me not only in my health journey, but also in my practice to help others. And so for those who are looking for something that addresses any of those, I would recommend that.
Wonderful. I'm going to definitely check that book out. Definitely would love to sit down and read it. Hopefully it's on script and whatnot. So thank you so much for that recommendation. Now I'm curious, are you ever going to write a book yourself? I think it would be great. I'd be the first person in line to buy it if you do.
Oh, thanks. I've actually started a couple, but it only matters if you finish. I am in the process of doing that now. One about the journey that I was on, and I'm calling that Jesus and Juice. And then another is more about my coaching practice and the work that I do, but that's not as much about healing, but more about the coaching work in general.
Wonderful. Can't wait till they come out. Please keep me posted. What was the title of the other one? Jesus and what?
Jesus and Juice.
Jesus and Juice. Okay. I think that's a clever title. And so can't wait for it to come out. Definitely going to check it out. That brings me to my next question. Are you going to ever create or start your own podcast? I think you'd be great as a podcast host.
Well, thanks. You've inspired me. I had considered it before, and I had planned to follow up with you, get some tips and tricks on how to really effectively do this. I'm impressed with your podcast and how you've facilitated it and many of the guests that you had. So you tell me, when can we help launch my podcast, and I'm ready to go. So yes, I would love to. I'm looking to get some insights and advice in addition to what I already know in terms of content. I would love tips on how to effectively engage the crew and lead the podcast. So I'd love to.
Wonderful. Well, again, I think you'd make an excellent host, and it's quite easy to start a podcast with the Anchor platform. Anchor.fm.
Yeah.
It's actually free, and they automatically distribute your podcast to Apple, Google, and Spotify. So definitely, my opinion is that everyone should have a podcast. I think Seth Godin, who's a marketing guru, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says podcasting is a new blogging, that everyone should have one. So yeah. It's a great way to network and build relationships. That's the primary reason why I started my own podcast. And I think the secondary reason is people said I had a great voice, so I should showcase it. So that's why I titled it the Deep Voice Man Show.
And you do indeed. You do indeed.
Thank you so much for that. I always keep getting compliments on it and whatnot. So, again, when the podcast comes out, definitely keep me posted. I can definitely help you out and give you tips. I actually started this show January 6th. And since then I've had, it sounds crazy when I tell people that, but since then I have close to 100 episodes, and then I've been having a lot of fun meeting a lot of great people. It's opened up a lot of opportunities and doors and whatnot, so definitely recommend you get a podcast. I know it'd be great. So definitely I just wanted to mention to you, this has been an enlightening, inspiring, and educational conversation, an episode I'll be listening to and re-listening to a lot. I was curious, can you describe all the ways that people can reach out and connect with you to put a dynamic center of influence in their network?
Absolutely. I'm going to build this out a little bit more, but I'm on Instagram at @revealing_roots. I'm on Twitter at @revealingroots. And I also have a show that is slightly separate from some of this, but touches on some of the elements of what I coach about. On YouTube and Facebook, The Friendly Enema Show, which has a little quirky title, but if you watch the promo, it says more about what the show entails, and we're launching the second season where we're focused, shifting the focus a little. And then by email, challenged to change consulting, challenged with an ED at the end, to change consulting @gmail.com. If people are interested in learning more or want to reach out, I can be reached on any of those.
Okay, great. And that's an email address, challenged to change consulting?
Yes, correct.
@gmail?
Correct.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, but it's not the name of the website, just the Gmail. Okay.
Correct.
Got it. I wanted to, again, thank you so much for sharing that information. That the info you provided will be available in the episode description area so people can see it and read it there. Okay. So thank you so much again for being a guest on the show, and thank you to the audience for listening. Do you want to leave us with any last word or final send-off?
I actually just was preparing my voice, my mouth to thank you, Luke, for the wonderful work you're doing, how you're connecting so many people, so many coaches, just really bringing to light the great work that's being done. And I just wanted to celebrate and thank you. So that's where I'll end. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. It was an honor to have you as a guest. So, and again, thank you to the audience for listening. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Everyone, take care and have a wonderful and great day. Hey guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.